Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Lord.
He is always up to something. I had to clarify that. So he just smiled at me. I said, okay. Either what did I do or what are you doing?
One or the other.
You telling me, I am telling you back.
I'm not always up to something.
Okay. You're not.
If I am, it's good.
Okay, praise the Lord. I don't know why, but and I said this before, but I have this nervousness in me. Yeah, pray for me.
Amen.
Anyway, I'm going to go on and do what the Lord said. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read a scripture from Jeremiah. Chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse number 9.
Jeremiah
chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse number 9. And God gave me this scripture, you know, about a month or so ago, but it's funny how he works, and he just continues to work, and he speaks, and Jeff always says, in sentences. And, you know, just the other day, I shared about how God was telling me how I pretended. Mm. And he's also been telling me how to come out more. And I know y'all probably say, she already speaks her mind.
I said that too.
But it's going to be more because God is getting on me because he said I'm still holding back. Mm-hmm. So I think he's still working on that and also giving me something just to encourage all of us in that regard. Amen? Mm-hmm. But Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And I'm going to stop there.
Amen.
And also, I wanted to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. I think that God is talking to me. He's been talking to me about ministry and your ministry and my ministry, the ministry that he's given us, and being real and coming forward with it. And these are the scriptures that he told me. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. It says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So both of these scriptures, God was speaking about ministry and putting words in our mouths and to destroy, to overthrow, to build, to plant, to tear down. All these things God does, and he wants to do it through us. He wants to do it through us. And with the ministry of reconciliation, God is just basically saying that he has called all of us to be ministers of reconciliation. That means to bring people so that they would know him.
Amen.
So God has been speaking, and he said, you know, about the great pretender and how I'm not really sharing those things that he put on the inside of me the way that I should. And with that, I've just been meditating on purpose and doing what God has called me to do, because I think that we should all do that. We should all do what God has called us to do. And when we don't, I believe that we're being disobedient to God, because he has called us to say things, to speak about things, to share things. And sometimes we sort of hold back on that. But God has filled each one of us with purpose.
Yes.
There are some that clearly walk in their purpose. There's some you can see. You can see the confidence in them, that they know that this is what I'm supposed to do. And they walk in it clearly. Like, and you can just see confidence. You can see God all over them, because it's such an anointing, and it just flows easily because they're doing exactly what God has called them to do. And that's where I want to be. And that's what we should all strive to be. Like, just so that the anointing of God just flows through us, and it is able to reach other people and touch them the way that God wants to touch them. But I think that some of us choose not to operate in it according to how we feel or who we are around. You know, like, we might feel like, you know, uncomfortable sharing a certain word because that person might take it the wrong way, and we might offend them, so we don't want to say anything. So I think that, you know, not doing that, it hurts the heart of God, because God has put something in us, especially ministry, and we ought to be fulfilling whatever it is that he's called us to do. We ought not to quench the spirit. And then there are some that simply feel as though God did not call them. Like, they said, I'm not called to be no pastor or preacher or evangelist, or I just want to be me. But God, like the scripture says, God has called all of us to be ministers of reconciliation. And all that means is just to tell people about God. Just to open up your mouth and share the word that God has placed in your mouth with somebody. That's all that is. So there's nothing scary about being a minister of reconciliation or being an ambassador for Christ. It's just fulfilling the purpose that God has for you.
Amen.
But anyway, not fulfilling your purpose is a direct strike against God's commandment. Mm-hmm. And there are many who would say, now, okay, it's funny that we're doing this on Reflection Sunday. Because we all come up here in a different way to share what God has given us. And God calls each of us to be different, because we are different, first of all. But he yet calls us to the same purpose, and the same goal is to tell people about Christ, or to tell them how they can have a better life in Christ. So with that being said, there's some who say that we are called to love people, and we are, but in this, I believe that they're thinking more so of an emotional kind of thing. Like, you're supposed to let people know that God is real and God loves them. Are you supposed to hug on them and speak soft words to them and let them know that God loves them and he doesn't care about what they're doing, that, you know, those kind of things. Some people actually believe this. And there's nothing wrong with showing the love of God. We can show the love of God in so many ways. Mm-hmm. But God called me different. Right?
Amen.
The way one person does something is not the way that I do it. And it doesn't mean that they're wrong.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean that I'm right. It just means that that's what God told you to do. And it's very important for us to realize that we have to do what God told us to do. Because that's the only thing that's going to work. And I think that that's what's been stopping me, because sometimes I look at other people and I look at their responses and how they get certain responses or certain results. And I say that because my approach doesn't do that, then something I'm doing is wrong. But if God, and God is telling me that, if he told me to do it, then I'm doing it right. I'm doing it the way he told me to do it. So I say this because it's funny how you had this, Patricia had this post. You spoke about it a little bit. She had this post about people being rumored.
And my first reaction was, she said that she just, you know, they wouldn't say thank you when she opened the door or something like that. So my first reaction was, I would have said the words out loud. Like, somebody, I'm holding the door for somebody and they walking through and they didn't say, I would have said, thank you. And it would, you know, it would have probably caught them and they probably would have said, thank you. And it's funny because in the same post, she had all these other people, one including my husband. And Patricia didn't say anything, and he told her that, you know, you did the right thing, because this is how we build up, you know, the patience, the love of Christ, and all these things inside of us. And I'm not, that's not wrong. This is not wrong, and mine is not wrong. We just have a different way of sharing things. We have a different way of going about things. But that's just to tell you, this is in our own household. You know, he's the one that's considered the softer one, the more patient one, the more peaceful one, you know, the more loving one. Just so that the audience will know, he's pointing to the fruit of the Spirit on the wall. That's okay.
Praise the Lord.
Some people are called to be the love person. And I am not. I'm not the lovey-dovey person, oh, that kind of person. I still love you, amen. But I just love you with a heart of hand.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Because God is in it all. In it all. If he's told you to do it, you have to be true to who he told you to be.
Amen.
And that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. You have to do your ministry the way that God gave it to you. I can't try to be like my husband. That is not me. He does things his way, or the way that God tells him. I have to do it the way that God tells me. Like, in the story of John the Baptist, you know, he's preaching in the wilderness, he's calling people liars, and you're not of God, and this and that, and he's got on these wild clothes and stuff, and today, if people do that kind of stuff, they would call John the Baptist so many names because he's being so harsh, and people don't see God in that. They tell him about his, he's telling people about their fruit and stuff, and no, God wouldn't do all of that, you know. But that's not, that's who God called John the Baptist to be. So some of the methods that he used are some of the methods that I use. Because the people still need to know that God is God, and he does not tolerate certain things, and he just doesn't. So in that sense, you can God will tell you to love on somebody that's committing sin, to love on them, to hug them, to hold them, and let them know that they can come out of it, that they will be okay, and things. He would do that with one person. With another person, he might tell that person, me, tell that person they're messing up and they need to just stop the nonsense, stop the foolishness. That's how God spoke to me. So what I'm trying to say is, God calls each of us to do things a certain way, and we have to do it the way that God wants us to, because he wants to reach people. His main goal is to pull people to him.
Amen.
We are ministers of reconciliation. We are to pull people to him. That is our purpose. So if we're not walking in it, if somebody needs a word, a harsh word, somebody needs to be told, stop it, you're messing up. If God called you to do it and you don't do it, that person can stay lost. But this is how God saved me. This is how he saved me. So there could be somebody like me that needs a harsh word. I have a hard head. So I need to be, don't come trying to love on me, hugging me, telling me everything. No, that worked for a little bit, but I'm going to go right back to doing what I do. I need somebody to say, you keep doing this, and this is going to happen. And that's what God did to me. That's how he saved me. So we have to realize that We all have a ministry. We have to walk in it. We have to operate in it the way that God told us to. Don't worry about what somebody's saying. You're not doing this right. You're not doing that right. Because I've heard all those words. You're not showing the love of God. You're not old. You're not being compassionate enough. No. You do what God called you to do. You remain faithful in it. And then God will bring that person to him just like he brought you to him. Amen. And I'm saying that for myself. So, anyway. Don't laugh at me, y'all. God has multiple sides, and we can never try to put God in a box and say he is this way or that way, and he will do the same thing all the time, because he will not. Like I said, God will tell some people to just get it right. But people want to believe that you're not supposed to do other, you're not supposed to just love them. That, and if you think that all you need to do to love on somebody is to hug them or tell them soft words about God or say that God doesn't matter, it doesn't matter what you do, God's still going to love you. You can say all those words, but it takes a little bit more than that. And I think that we do a disservice to God and who he is if we do anything like that. We do. Because God has so many, there's so many ways to God, you know. He'll do things this way, he'll do things that way, he'll do things that way. So we can't just try to say God is just this, because he's not. Otherwise, we will all be just the same, and we're not. So that just shows that there is a God that's different, you know, because he has different purpose in everybody. So we need to make sure that we're walking in a purpose that God tells us to. Okay, so we are to reconcile people to God, not to us, not to our way of thinking, not to this false sense of love, to God. And whatever it takes, whatever he tells you to do, your ministry, my ministry is doing whatever God tells you to do concerning that situation. Because that's another thing that can always change. You know, we can't think that because we did this in that situation, it's going to be the same for that. Another situation, no. It will always change, so we have to remain open to God, open to the person that we're speaking to, you know, so that God can speak and he can move through us. We have to be available, we have to be willing, and just, you know, obedient. Just like, okay, God, whatever you want me to say, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll do whatever it takes to be, you know, so that God can move on somebody's behalf. But I think that was basically it. God is just, you know, God is good, and he just wants us to just to be who he has made us to be, and don't let anybody hold us back from doing that. I've done that too long. I've not spoken on things that I should have spoken up about, or not, you know, shared things that hurt, because some things hurt sometimes. Things are ugly sometimes, and sometimes situations that people are in are not very good situations, but if you refuse to tell the truth, then how are they going to come out of it? How do they know that they can come out of it unless you share it the way that God gave it to you? So that's my word for today. That's my encouragement, that we just all walk in our purpose that God has given us so that he can reach somebody else. Amen.
Praise the Lord. That is good.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, good morning. Good morning. You know, our 18-year-old, he turned 18 in November, and there was a kind of a switch that turned on. In his mind, he's always been somewhat serious, but he became more serious. He's had a girlfriend for 2.5 years, and so he started asking a lot of questions about what's expected, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know what he's talking about, you know, his marriage and in the future and how she'd handle that. And I said, look, you know, we've talked, and he's a young man who loves God. He when he was small, he slept with a Bible under his pillow because it made him feel less afraid. When he was born, his mom was addicted to drugs, and so they had to keep him in the hospital for a while so that he could go through detox and things. But as a result, I don't know whether it's as a result or not, but anyway, he truly trust God to take care of him. And he and I talk about God often. And so there was the prom coming up, and there was a lot of things he wanted to talk about around the prom and prom night and how long it can stay out and where he can go. He's going to go to Atlantic City with his friends, and I told him, no, you can't do that. And going to go to this area where I said, no, you can't do that either. So went to a party that was not very far away, and he was home by midnight, which I was surprised about because he didn't. But he and his friend had a great time. But the impending thing was his graduation. They were graduating from, he was graduating from high school, and just before graduation was at, I think, 5 o'clock, and so he was getting ready and all that, and he came over about 4 o'clock, and he was, I thought he'd be much happier than he was, but he was serious, and he wanted to talk about what was going to happen after graduation. He didn't know what he wanted to be or what he wanted to do. He's going to go to college, but that's just because he thought that was the next step, and I had been telling him that's the next step. But he wasn't sure. He just didn't know what he wanted to do, what he wanted to be. I said, but at 18, who does?
Right.
Who really does? Who cares? I mean, you want to take the next step for you. But he was, you know, I said, you have to trust God. You have to rely on God to guide you. And that's what he really came over for. It wasn't his graduation. It was about my wife, and it is what the woman he calls Aunt Gwen. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't understand why God hasn't cured her.
Wow.
And he said, you know, she's a great woman. She's always helping people. She's helped him. And he said, you're all about God. He said, you've helped lots of people. You've done the right things. He said, I don't understand.
Wow.
So I said, well, truth be told, I don't understand either.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'm sure of is that I trust God to do the right thing. And I know that God will do what's best for her. And he said, yeah, but she suffers. And I don't understand why she suffers, why he allows her to suffer. And I said, I don't know the answer to that. I said, I do know that God wants what's best for her. And that he loves her.
Yes.
And that whatever this is, whatever the reason for it, God loves her and has always loved her, and he's going to continue to love her. And we have to trust God. I said, remember, you and I have read in the Bible before that you have to wait on God, mm-hmm. that you have to be patient. And he said, but it's been a long time.
Wow. Yeah.
And I said, I know, it's been a long time. I said, but in the eyes of God, it's been but a minute. I said, his time is not our time. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Mm-hmm. I said, you have to have faith. I said, I have faith. And you've always had faith. I said, your aunt, well, she has faith. And we have to believe. We have to continue to believe. We have to continue to trust. He said, yes, but I pray every night. Wow. I said, so do I. And so does your aunt Quinn. And we have to trust that God hears our prayers and will answer our prayers. And he said, he wasn't satisfied with that. And I said, I wish I had all the answers. Amen. You have a lot of questions, and I'm so thankful that you know. But yeah. I don't have those answers. Mm-hmm. I said, the only thing I can tell you is God doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. And God wants what's best for us. And I trust God to take care of her, as he's always done.
Amen.
And as I believe he always will do, he is doing the right thing for her. And he said, if you say it, I believe it. But I want her to be well. I want her to be like she used to be.
Yeah.
And he said, you're still coming to graduation. And I said, yeah, of course we are. And he said, well, is she feeling up? There have been a lot of times we've had to cancel at the last minute for things because she wasn't feeling. I said, she's coming no matter what. She's going to be there. And he said, well, I'll be looking for you, and I need to know that you're going to be there. I said, we'll be there. And we were.
Amen. So, yeah.
And because after graduation, he has about 7 friends he's had forever. And each one came up and gave us a hug. And four of them said, say a prayer for us, because we're going to need it, because we're going out into the world, and we don't understand what's going on. And I said, look, you guys are good guys. You know what you need to do. You know where you're going. And you just have to trust God that you're going to get there. And they were smiles and happy, and they gave Gwen lots of hugs, too. But, you know, the thing that was really good was one of all of his questions, because he wanted the answers to be good answers, answers that would make him feel like things were getting better. I didn't give him that. I didn't know how to give him that. But it did settle him. It did, as he gave Gwen a hug that lasted forever until she finally pushed him away. He just looked at me and let me know that he did understand.
Wow.
He wasn't satisfied.
Right.
But he understood.
Wow.
Amen. That's all.
Yeah. Well, my reflection, I'm just, you know, thinking about the body of Christ, and I just feel like we have just been there's been such a division in the body, and I feel like we've just been under attack, you know, in our health, in our families, in our faith. It's just been so much going on. I don't know if it's because I'm like really paying attention or it's just increased. So as I'm thinking about this and I'm just like, oh, you know, the body of Christ and how we're under attack, I just also see a level of apathy that is upsetting. Like, people look at each other in the body of Christ, and it's almost as if when someone goes through something, it's not, oh, let's pray for that sister. It's kind of like, well, what did they do for that you know, event to happen, or for them to be in a financial situation that they're in? What happened to them? You know, what did they do for their body to be attacked in the way it is? And it makes me think, you know, like Job with his friends. Like, they just had to have an explanation. You know, like your son was asking you questions. You didn't have an answer. And sometimes that's okay not to have an answer. But for some reason, in the body, we like to judge And we like to look at each other and try to figure out, okay, what did they do in their life to warrant their, you know, their trouble. So as I was thinking about it, you know, I think a lot of people in the body of Christ forget that we're one. And I was looking at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26 and 27. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now I was thinking about that. I'm thinking about the body. There's an arm, there's a leg, there's fingers, there's toes. The body is very complex. But when one thing is off, it affects everything. It's like if one leg is hurt, the other leg is working just as hard to make sure that the body keeps going. And I don't think that people are understanding that when one is suffering, we all are hurting. There's no reason, or you know, you don't have to try to rationalize and figure out like why they're going through things. It's not about that. If you understand love and you understand grace, it doesn't matter. Be there for that person. You know, be that helping hand for them. If they need money, if they need a place to stay, if they need a word of encouragement, why does it matter? You know, the reason why they're going through what they're going through.
Amen.
Be there.
Amen.
Love them. It just, it blows my mind. Like, you know, I'm on the internet and I'm reading posts and people are going back and forth in our quote scripture and it's like, all I see is hate. There's no love in that. And I'm just like, it just blows my mind how far removed people are from the sufferings of one another. And then I was just thinking like, God, what is it? What is happening? And then he took me to Acts. Acts chapter 4. And it kind of was, it just interested me. I was like, how, what was it that they had going at this time? And it's Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of the lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need.
Yes.
There was such a flow of unity back then that God's power was able to flow without resistance. Mm-hmm. And I think he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I do believe that God could flow like this. Again, I think that the lack of unity amongst the body is what's hindering God from really flowing. There's just too much stuff that's running rampant in this world right now, and it should not be because we're here. You know, who has anointed us, established us as God? As he is, so are we in this world. That same spirit that rose Jesus up from the dead abides in us. Then why is all of this suffering going on? What is happening? And it's us. One house of faith has this view of this thing, and another house of faith has this. And at the end of the day, the message is love, reconciliation. It's bringing people to Christ. That's what it's all about. You know, there's so many that have the form of godliness, but denying the power of the love.
Yeah.
I go to church, check. I volunteer once a week, check. But there's no love, and there's no heart to it. And I think that the body, I think it starts, like you said, you were giving the analogy of you and Pastor Jeff, how different you are. But sometimes those differences can cause problems.
Yes.
And I think it starts in the household of faith. We need to learn how to work with each other, work with differences, and then it just ramples up.
Yeah.
You know, if you can work with people in the household of faith who are different than you, then when you go to work or when you encounter other people, you're able to work with different personalities. So I'm just like, all right, God, so we need to flow in the spirit of unity because it's us who are limiting God's power. You know, Jesus was here, and he could not do work in his own home because of unbelief. How is it the Son of God is here, and he's limited by unbelief? You know, so we have to get in one accord, of one heart, and of one mind, and have care, empathy for one another. Don't be so involved in yourself that you just can't see, you know, someone else who's suffering. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am right now if someone didn't open their home up to me. If someone didn't give me a word of encouragement. If someone didn't mentor me at work.
Yes.
people are placed in your life in different areas and different times, and you have to be aware of their presence, and just don't overlook people, and don't, you know, think that you're above them, or they're beneath you, or anything like that, but you never know who's in your life. They could be in your life to pour into you, or you can be there to pour into them, but we can't look past the opportunity of giving and receiving from others. And then the last scripture that the Lord gave me on the importance of, you know, unity and flowing and encouraging one another was Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Where it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Amen. We are all powerful. We are all anointed. And God has graced us and given us everything that we need. Amen. He doesn't need to do another thing, but we need to flow in the spirit of unity and walk in that power and encourage one another. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, I have my notebook. I have my notes. I praise God for each one of you. Amen. Coming and sharing. Amen. And I just want to look through and just talk real briefly and just make a point of what I received from this. Amen. Sister Fennell talked about being who you are and doing what God... We all have a purpose, is absolutely right, and we all have to fulfill our purpose. And see, one of the things that... We're going to pray for Sister Fennell before we leave today for release from people. And Sister Fennell will share with you, I have told her for a long, long time, you better stop worrying about people. The people will mess you up. The people are this way today and they're that way tomorrow. And God told me a long time ago, don't worry about them folk. Right? You got to do what God wants you to do. Yeah. And if you put your eye on people, people will mess you up.
Amen.
That's why I said something else. You start as Jeremiah 1, 9 through 10. Mm-hmm. Right above that, verse 8, he said, "Do not be dismayed at their faces." In verse 8, right? But he was telling them, I got a word for you, and they're not going to like it.
Wow.
But he told them, amen, don't even look at their faces. That's why a lot of times when I preach, I don't look at any of y'all. If you ever wonder why I don't look, I ain't got time to be looking. Because sometimes people be looking at you more, they be giving you the mean face, brother. You go certain places, they just be looking. And if you read somebody's face, it may tamp you down.
Amen.
Amen. I don't look at faces. Amen. Only face I want to see when it comes to the Lord's will is the Lord's face. Amen.
Amen.
And then you do what the Lord would have you to do. Amen. Yeah. Because we all are called to, you know, amen. But it's liberating. Amen. Mm-hmm. It's liberating to say, look, I'm doing what God wants. And you just put your hands out. I've done the will of the Lord. You can walk away. You can sleep good at night. Amen. Because you're not letting any other things clutter your mind or your heart. Amen. You have to, you know, come as you come. Amen. And as the Lord leads you. From Brother Les, amen. See, it's funny, you know, Torian had all those questions, right? And see, to me, the greatest thing that you could have told him that you did is like, I don't have all the answers. See, we need to come to that right there, right? I don't have all the answers. Sometimes we pretend like we got the answer. Mm-hmm. And so we just start telling people stuff. But it's okay to say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Listen, we can't know everything about God.
Right.
I don't know why God moved in this situation but didn't move in that one. Mm-hmm. But you come back to something, right? You came back to his character. Mm-hmm. I know God is good. Mm-hmm. I know God doesn't lie. I know God is trustworthy. Sometimes we focus on what we don't know. Okay, I don't know why God did that, but what do I know? I still know God is good. I still know God loves me. Right? There's still a lot of things you do know about God. Don't let the things you don't know get you off track when there's so many things that you do know that can be an anchor in your soul. Amen? And so praise God. I don't know. But you said, but I know God doesn't lie. We have to trust him. Amen. And so there's a whole lot of things I don't know. I look around and some of the things we've been talking about for the last couple of years, you know, with Joseph passing away and then with his friend Anthony passing away more recently. I don't understand any of that.
Amen.
Right? And I don't think I will understand it on this side of glory, but I still know God is God, amen, and that he's good, and that, amen, as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Sister Patricia, you hit on something, amen, about the division in the body of Christ. Who causes division?
The enemy.
The enemy. That's all he wants to do. He wants to cause division in the body of Christ, between husband and wife, between brothers and sisters, between co-workers, neighbors, you name it. Mm-hmm. He is just walking around trying to cause division because Jesus, not Abraham Lincoln, Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. Amen. And so he knows that. Mm-hmm. If I can divide this house, I can walk away because the house is going to fall of its own weight.
That's
amen.
Right.
And he knows that. But as you said, we have to, well, you know, here's the thing that I would ask us to consider. You say, well, because we have to examine ourselves, too, and make sure that we're not part of the division, too. You know what I mean? In other words, we have to make sure that we continue to operate in unity, even as we do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The differently don't mean you do your thing, I do my thing, he does his thing. Amen.
Right.
We still have to have one purpose. But one thing to consider is the effect of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I think fear makes us want to push people away. You think about the disciples, right? When the 5,000 were there and they couldn't feed them. What did they want Jesus to do?
Send them away.
See, when it makes us uncomfortable and we think that it's going to put us in a bad place or we don't know what the answer is, sometimes we just want it to go away. We don't want to see the person, right? So the person who has the issue, mm-hmm. the reason why there doesn't seem to be much in the way of compassion and everything is because some just, I don't want to deal with it. So I'm going to throw a scripture at you.
Yes.
And I'll take it like an aspirin and feel better in the morning.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work that way. But that's what we want, right? Because we want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so sometimes people coming with problems kind of brings us down. You know what I'm saying? And so that's a little bit of a fear, it's a little bit of selfishness, but it's nothing of God,
amen.
Right? But we can't send people away, but we do have to try to, you know, be used by him to do something. But you're absolutely right. There is too much stuff running rampant in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, the body of Christ has to look in the mirror and say, how is that so?
Yes.
Yeah. And what am I doing, right,
yes.
to allow the light of God to shine through me?
Yes.
That it can make a difference.
Amen.
Amen. That it can make a difference. And so, amen. I take a lot from this today. And it's a funny thing because none of it, they can't blame me, Lord. None of it was running around the church stuff today.
None of it
was jumping around hallelujah, right?
Nope.
Yeah, Sister Fidel talking about, I'm going to tell you off. I mean, that's it.
I didn't say that.
I know. I'm just saying, right? But the message really was there, right? Be yourself.
Ouch,
do what God has called you to do. That intimidates some people, right? I don't know all the answers. That intimidates people. People that have problems. That intimidates people. None of this. Right? But you know what it all was? It's God just telling us, amen, that we have to submit to him, keep trusting him,
mm-hmm.
right? And be unified and courageous in how we go out in this world if we're going to make a difference, amen? And I know there's no promise of a car in that. There's no promise of a job. There's no promise of money. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
See, the things that seem like, you know, sometimes maybe that's what's getting the body of Christ off me, right? Because I'm so busy waiting for my money to come in. I don't want to hear about you having a problem. But this is real stuff because this is where people live. This is where we live.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And we are called to make a difference. Amen. We are called to make a difference. And so, yeah, we praise God. Amen. It wasn't, yeah, no one's running around today. But praise God, if you're listening closely, I think you're encouraged and you're strengthened, right? You're strengthened by what God is saying. Amen. So praise God for each one of you. Amen. I enjoy this, amen, because it's different. It's like getting multiple messages on the same day. Amen. 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 So.